uncertainty. Uncertainty is just a part of life, is it not? It's actually part of the enjoyment of life. Uncertainty is one of the joys we can experience, because imagine a world in which we had unlimited certainty about what was going to happen, where we knew everything that was going to unfold. Would we try to grow? Would we find happiness? If we knew exactly what was going to happen in the future, would we be happy? Or would we be miserable? Would we be sad? Would we be depressed? Would we be angry or just complacent? But no, we have this great opportunity within the idea of uncertainty, because it gives us the fuel to find faith. We cannot have faith without uncertainty. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Flow Over Fear podcast, where it is our mission to help you to rise above fear and realize your ultimate potential in leadership and life. I'm your host, Adam Hill, and it is my goal to share with you the human side of high performance. My guests share their experience with fear, anxiety, struggle, challenge, and most importantly, despite all of it, how they rose above it to achieve incredible results. So, if you're ready to rise up, let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome to Flow Over Fear. In last week's episode, I introduced a topic about how we can reframe our limiting beliefs so that they no longer have to feel like obstacles in the way of our ultimate or true potential. And in that episode, I introduced the topic of danger fear versus opportunity fear. Now, fear and limiting beliefs are overlapping concepts, meaning that when we have limiting beliefs, most of that is rooted in fear. And I believe that fear falls into one of two categories, danger fear or opportunity fear. And when I talked about that last week, I talked about the idea that danger fear is very important because it tells us if we're in immediate danger, if we're in front of a tiger and there's no cage or fence between us and the tiger, we should feel fear because we are in danger. That's an important evolutionary concept. But the other part of fear is another important part that we should be thankful for fear for being there, which is to signal us that we might have an opportunity. And that happens in the vast majority of cases in the first world where we feel fear. Because we often in the first world feel fear a lot. We feel anxiety. We feel stress. We feel overwhelm, you know, uncertainty, all of these things. But we're not in immediate danger a lot of times. And so what that represents is it's a signal that we're pushing up against the edge of our comfort zone. And that can be an opportunity. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, I would go back and listen to it and learn a little bit about this, because I introduced three core, really root fears that we have, root causes to those opportunity fears and the reasons why we experience that. And if we can address those and rise above those three root causes, those three root fears, what I would call psychological barriers to achieving our true potential, well, then we can unlock a world of opportunity for ourselves, and we can pursue things that we once thought were wildly impossible for ourselves. This is something that I've done in my life, and I've interviewed many others, dozens of other people about how they've done that very thing. And we see examples of this all the time. So we know it's true. We know that people can push beyond the edge of their comfort zone and they can remove the obstacles of their limiting beliefs and achieve great success. Those three root causes that I talked about were uncertainty, overwhelm, and self-doubt. And specifically, I want to dig into uncertainty today. And I talked briefly about this last week, and I talked briefly about how to overcome uncertainty, overwhelm, and self-doubt last week. But I want to focus today on the uncertainty piece, because there's a lot of tools that I can provide that we can talk through that will help you to make it so that the uncertainty part is no longer an obstacle. There is no doubt that in this world that we live in today, in all time, in any moment in time, there's always going to be uncertainty. We do not know what is going to happen in the next 5 minutes. Hey, in 5 minutes, you could be listening to this episode and the entire roof of my studio can collapse on top of me and you'll be witnessing history. But let's hope that doesn't happen. But we're uncertain about a lot of things that may happen in the future. And it's okay to feel that uncertainty. Uncertainty is just a part of life, is it not? It's actually part of the enjoyment of life. Uncertainty is one of the joys we can experience, because imagine a world in which we had unlimited certainty about what was going to happen, where we knew everything that was going to unfold. Would we try to grow? Would we find happiness? If we knew exactly what was going to happen in the future, would we be happy? Or would we be miserable? Would we be sad? Would we be depressed? Would we be would we be angry or just complacent? But no, we have this great opportunity within the idea of uncertainty, because it gives us the fuel to find faith. We cannot have faith without uncertainty. And faith, yes, can be a faith in a higher power. And I believe truly that there is a God and a higher power that exists, that is there for us, that loves us. But also faith in ourselves, faith in our abilities, faith in what is going to come with the work that we're putting in and what we can expect for ourselves. Faith in ourselves is so important. And that comes with a faith in a higher power, right? So that uncertainty is often, we have a hard time finding that faith amidst the uncertainty. And a lot of times we have a hard time looking at that uncertainty without feeling afraid or feeling like a prisoner to it. When we feel like a prisoner to that uncertainty, we lack the conviction to pursue the things that fill us up, the things that we want to pursue. Maybe you want to be an astronaut. Maybe you want to be a business owner, or maybe you want to go and start a charity that helps the homeless or struggling people, whatever it may be. Maybe you have this dream and you just feel like there's an uncertainty around it. And so you put it off because you just don't know what the end looks like or what success looks like. And that fear can show up, that fear of the unknown, the fear of the future, that uncertainty can show up as a fear of failure, fear of being rejected, a fear of not achieving what you're setting out to achieve, because you just don't know what will happen. And a lot of times we as a protective mechanism, you know, our brains will immediately go to that worst case scenario. We'll have a bias, a negative bias toward what is the negative outcome. So it's not often we look at uncertainty and we tell ourselves, oh, that's okay, because likely we'll also become fabulous millionaires at the end of this, and that's okay. There's a chance of that. We don't oftentimes automatically go there. More often we go to the negative. And so we have to offset that. We have to do work to get to the offset that and remove that as an obstacle. And again, when we can remove that as an obstacle, we can actually create greater flow. But when we're feeling like prisoners to that uncertainty, we get stuck because we don't make any forward progress. We don't move past that fear of uncertainty. We don't find faith. We just feel stuck where we're at. That's a painful place to be. It's a place where I've been before in my younger days, when I focused more on the things that were outside of my control and just being frustrated that those things weren't changing, and frustrated about the uncertainty around my career when I was younger, than focusing on what I could control and having the faith that if I could move in the direction of God's will for me, that I could step into the right direction. But I focused to force my anger into the equation in that time. And specifically, I was frustrated. I was not necessarily happy with where I was in my career. I wasn't really doing what I liked. And there was a lot of uncertainty around where it would lead to. And my dependence, where I was putting my energy, my mental energy, was where will other people see what I'm doing and put me in the places where I need to be? And when will that happen? And there was tremendous uncertainty around that, because I was dependent on other people and other things to make, and outside circumstances to make me happy. That's a dangerous situation to be in. And naturally, it didn't work out well, because it led to me being angry and frustrated, the fact that I wasn't moving forward because other people didn't see me and I was a victim in all of this and I wasn't moving forward. But in reality, I was just afraid of the unknown, of an unknown future, where I was still stuck where I was at now. I mean, think about that for a moment. If you're unhappy with where you're at now and you're afraid of the future, one of the fears that you have about that uncertainty is that the future will be exactly like it's like right now, because you're in a place where you're not happy. And only you have the opportunity to turn that around, to make yourself happy in this moment. It doesn't take other people or other circumstances or other things. It takes the work coming directly from you. And that was the challenge that I had at that time, was that I was so focused on the outside circumstances. I wasn't focused internally on me, on making myself happy in the moment, so that the uncertainty of the future, so that I took the fear of that unknown future, that fear that the future may turn out exactly like it was that day. And that became my nightmare. So the way that came out in my life is obviously it was a contributing factor to me trying to numb that pain of not being happy in that moment with alcohol, drinking heavily and leading into those bad habits and resentments and all of that. So it took a tremendous amount of healing to come through that. And in that healing, I found faith. And faith was an important part of bringing me to some level of contentment in the moment, so that I could really focus internally on what's going to make me happy. How can I make myself happy? How can I stop depending on outside circumstances to lead to my happiness or future or other people trying to put me in positions of all this or whatever? No, I had to focus on making that for myself in the moment. That changed everything. But faith in and of itself was only part of it. We talk about faith without action being dead, right? And that is certainly a true. But in reality, faith was only a part of the equation, because faith only comes with it with action. And the truth was that in that time, when I was living for other people or living at the whim of other people, I felt like a prisoner to that uncertainty. The truth was is that I wasn't living consistently with my values. And because of that, that's where fear had the opportunity to creep in and present itself as a fear of that uncertainty. So the core values are such an important element of that. So faith and core values. And what I really came to understand was that when I was able to make myself happy, it wasn't about a future me that was going to make me happy in the moment, in a moment. The future us, the first future version of us, while we can visualize it, while it's an empowering exercise to visualize where we want to go and what we want to be and who we want to become, that's a valuable exercise. Without the present moment of living the core values, of living who we want to be right now, that future version of us will only frustrate us in the moment if we believe that we can't get there. The requirement that we need to bridge that gap between the two is conviction. Conviction is not just a faith, which is an unwavering belief, right, in something that doesn't necessarily have tangible evidence. But that conviction is an unwavering belief plus a certainty in the outcome that you can create, that it makes you in the moment feel that fulfillment of working toward it. It's the joy in the process, meaning that we can remove that fear of the future, the fear of the uncertainty, the fear of the failure, fear of everything. If we can remove that as an obstacle, in other words, we can't get rid of the feeling of the fear, but we can remove it as an obstacle when we can find that conviction, because what that means is that in the moment, we know that we're pursuing our path, our purpose, and that when we are pursuing our path and our purpose, we can be happy and fulfilled right now. We remove the future thing, which is uncertain, and we bring ourselves into the now. That's where we create certainty. We can create certainty in the right now. So a few of the things that requires, I believe, in order to help us to rise above that uncertainty is, first finding your core values. and then really finding the thing that you can pursue that that fills you up. It's the thing I call the ABC dream. It's the dream that's aligned with your values. It's a dream that is brave, that you can be courageous in. And it's a dream with clarity, something that you want to pursue, but also something that's going to fill you up in the moment. And then finally, creating the story around your experience right now that reinforces the meaning that you want to create. You have the opportunity to create that meaning in that story. So let's first talk about that values piece, the core values. Because if you're not identifying your core values, if you're not identifying core values and you're not living true to your core values, what you're creating is a misalignment. And what you're also creating there is an interpretation that there of fear there. Because without core values, without some guiding beacon, you have uncertainty. You naturally have a lack of conviction without a firm set of beliefs or values. And therefore, you're creating uncertainty in your life. And that is the first thing that is keeping you stuck, because you don't have a clarity of those core values. So how do you find your core values? Well, here's the first step that I really like. Stephen Covey, who wrote the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, has something called a funeral exercise. And I've heard this reinforced a lot of times, and I love the idea of this exercise, because the exercise states that you picture in your mind's eye, I guess everybody says your mind's eye, and that weirds me out. Why don't you say your mind? Anyway, but you visualize your funeral. You've passed away, you've passed on, and your friends and family are gathering at this funeral, looking over your coffin. Maybe it's an open coffin. I don't know why you do that, but maybe it's an open coffin, maybe it's a closed coffin. Who knows? Or maybe you're in an urn. Because you've earned the right to be there, right? Sorry, that's a bad dad joke. Anyway, you're at your funeral. You're watching everybody give their eulogies about you, and you're picturing what they would say. What would you want those folks to say about you, about your life, about how you showed up, about how you represented? I think that's a very powerful exercise, but I want to take it a step further for you in terms of identifying what your values are and what you truly want to be in this world. I want you to be alive while you see that, not dead. I want you to be alive. And I want to call this, instead of the funeral exercise, I want to call this the deathbed exercise. And I want you to picture yourself at the end of your life, on your deathbed, surrounded by family, celebrating. You know, I one of the transformational times in my life, and sometimes transformational experiences can happen in an instant, just off of something that others may interpret as passing, but you witness it and you see it as something so impactful. And this happened a few years ago when Jimmy Carter, a former president of the United States, was having a serious health issue. And I believe at the time they called it a terminal illness that he had. And he was probably already in his 90s, but I remember that as he was sitting there, believing that his life was almost over, that he was doing an interview. I think it was, I don't know what the interview was for, but a journalist asked him a question, and the journalist asked him a question about when he looks back on his life, what does he appreciate the most? And my gosh, if we're at the end of our lives, I couldn't dream of a better question to be asked than that, because that's truly representative of what, you know, we can think about in our life that really filled us up, that really meant something to us. And I remember the look on Jimmy Carter's face after he was asked that question. He paused for a moment. He smiled as he thought back. I don't even remember what he said. He could have said his family, the work he did as president, the work he did for Habitat for Humanity, or the charity that he did, the books that he wrote. It could be anything that he said. I don't remember. But the important piece was he smiled. He looked back on his life and he felt that sense of fulfillment and contentment in a job well done. And I think that that was ultimately God smiling through him. Isn't that what we can all wish for when we reach our deathbed? So in that exercise, think of yourself being asked that question. You know, when you look back on your life, on your deathbed, you're surrounded by family who's looking onto you. What stories do you want them to tell you? What do you want them to thank you for? What meaning do you want to your life? And most importantly, what will make you smile in the last moments of your life when you think back on those moments? And in there is the kernel of where your core values lie. That's the starting point. That's the foundation, because from that, you can start to journal. You can journal for 10, 15, 20 pages on the things that you want to represent in the world. And so that's step one, is journal about those things, about what you see during that deathbed exercise, and journal about what you would have wanted to represent in the world, how you would have wanted to serve, what you want your family to become, how you wanted to show up, how you wanted to serve God, or whatever it may be. Just journal that out. And then from that, you can look through that and circle key words, key verbs, or key nouns that define the parts of a core value. And when you get those words, I mean, they may be like giving, they may be charitable, they may be wealthy, they may be generous. Whatever those words are, circle them and then write all of those down. Now you have things that are your or are the values that you want to try to represent in the world. And once you write those things down, you can start to articulate your values and really narrow down the ones that you want to represent in the world. And there's a couple of ways that you can attack this core values exercise. You can really think about it in that way, which I really recommend, because facing it from the positive side first is really important, because it puts us in a positive frame of mind to really get to the root of what we value and where we want to go toward. But there's another way to attack this as well, in which you should probably do secondarily, but it also affirms some of what might be our blind spots when it comes to our values. Because some of our core values are rooted in the ideas of what we get angry about, or what are negative to us. So if you think about what makes you truly angry, what infuriates you, there's a value in there. Are you infuriated when you think of people being left on the streets with mental illness, not being taken care of? Does that infuriate you, or do you get infuriated in traffic on a Tuesday afternoon? Of course, I think we all do, but I don't know if there's a value in there necessarily. But you kind of get my drift that within those things that make us angry, we have a positive value in there too. We might find that if we're infuriated by the idea that people are suffering, that we have a value of compassion. Or if we're infuriated by people that are that are not seeing justice, that maybe justice is a core value of ours. So looking at those things, that's where it came to, and that's how I got to the nature of my root core values, that the true values that I want to represent in the world, you know, comes down to four, which is faith, courage, humor, and gratitude. Those are four things that I try to lean into, because I believe that they are things that I can help change the world. And there's others as well that are sort of offshoots of that, where I find adventure to be one of the core values that I lean into, and creativity and curiosity and continuous growth and health and vitality. When we can find these things, we can start to bring more certainty to our present moment. And when we can bring certainty to our present moment, we can start to offset the fear of the uncertainty that we have about the future or the unknown. And so that's, I would go down that route of looking at that. And then Once you can identify your values, what you're creating there is a beacon towards where you want to go and who you want to become, and you can be that right now. You will find that you find greater certainty when you aggressively, more assertively say yes to the things that align with your core values and no to the things that don't align with your core values. The more that you say yes to the things that don't align with your core values, the more uncertainty you are creating. The more that dilutes your values and it makes us misaligned. So you're creating uncertainty. So the point is that once you identify your core values, start acting upon them. And then you'll find yourself rising above that uncertainty. You'll find that you can create a dream of the future, a vision for your future, of who you want to be, that you can bring into this present moment. You'll find that you can create a story around it, around your life, that has powerful meaning in the now, that removes the uncertainty, removes the fear, helps you to rise above it, and it's no longer an obstacle. You just pursue it because it's aligned with your values. So my exercise for you today to help you to rise above that first core root fear that we all experience that serves as an obstacle to our true potential. Tackle the uncertainty first by finding your core values. Identify them. Do this deathbed exercise and just see how closely aligned you can create a life to your core values. Thanks for joining me today. We'll see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Flow Over Fear podcast. If you're enjoying this show, please do me a favor and hit the subscribe button. I will be so grateful if you do, and I'll look forward to bringing you more value in our next episode. I'll see you then.